Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, folks. Welcome back to another one of our political chats. We have our first guest in the studio. I don't know if he'll be any good, you know.
Yeah, I was walking here wondering why you drafted me into this. And I said to Dan, I feel like this series has had a sort of Top Gear of politics vibe. And so you needed a Richard Hammond to complete the set.
I'm not sure why you're calling Carl James May.
Because he can't drive.
Oh, that's it. Yep.
It's true. Yeah. He doesn't get to be the Jeremy Clarkson of politics.
He's obviously the Jeremy Clarkson.
Oh, are you kidding?
Clearly. Clearly.
I'm being ganged up. Right, we're not having any guests ever again. Anyway, so today we're going to be talking about Makefield, because everything, all eyes are on Makefield and everyone knows it. And it's weird how opaque it is from the outside, because actually surprisingly little polling has been done and surprisingly little information seems to actually be trickling out from the perspective of those people in the Westminster bubble and us in the hinterlands. So we're going to be talking about how Restore are, they're getting noticed, right? It's got to the point now, and just before anyone wonders, we're all members of Restore and we support Restore and we want Restore to win, just so our biases are crystal clear. Hate Farage, hate Labour, hate Tories, hate Greens, hate Lib Dems. They're all terrible. We're for Restore.
But we do love our country, and that's why we're backing Restore.
Exactly. And we're going to be talking about how they just can't ignore us at this point, right? They can talk. They cannot invite us on to talk to them about the issues, but they can't ignore that we're a force in British politics. And that's been, 3 months?
You can see the fear that they have that's barely concealed because of just the contours of it, because of how they've been, by their own admission, overreacting. Having all of their surrogates on X, in mobilizing the media that we've covered on the podcast before, for an all-out spectrum attack, and almost doing contradictory and every line possible to try and just find a gap in the armor that will eventually just immobilize their opponents, and it just makes them look histrionic.
Yes, and I mean, Dan Hodges called it perfectly, actually, and he's not someone whose predictions I respect normally.
Broken clocks.
He was like, yeah, look, they're going to start attacking Restore, and that's going to raise Restore salience, and suddenly we're going to be everywhere. And then we're going to be talking about the canvassers, the Restore canvassers in Makefield, what they're finding, and then we're going to talk about Reform's rearguard action against this. So let's begin. So we are mainstream now, right? It's understood that we have an MP, we have a very large and very skilled media, social media apparatus, and I don't just mean us, I don't just mean the Restore team themselves, I mean our activists, as in the many hundreds of thousands of people who have been politically engaged, who are like, no, I'm arguing the case in the comment section, I'm posting on Facebook, I'm posting wherever. I mean, I saw there's a just an organic Rupert Lowe Facebook group with 500,000 people in it at this point, right? That I found that it suggested to me. I was like, oh, join.
We've got an Anon Battalion.
Yeah, no, absolutely. We've got the Anon Battalion. It, like, the air war for Restore Britain is going very, very well. Very well.
So, and things journalists would have been aware of that for a while, because journalists are overwhelmingly on X.
Of course.
They
don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, you'll find voters on Facebook, but journalists on X. And so we've been dominating that because Restore is backed by the online right, where all the sort of youthful energy is. So they've been well aware of it. And so they started out for a long time saying, oh, this is just, you know, people online, very online. It was always an online-based attack. But now they're starting to see it come through in so many other ways that they feel that, oh, damn, we're going to have to find a new narrative here.
Yeah, and this we'll play a bit of a clip from Jacob Rees-Mogg on Laura Kusenberg's show on the BBC. Where they have to talk about us.
Right. If Restore, which was a sort of splinter off, Nigel Farage had a big fallout with a man called Rupert Lowe, who was a Reform MP, and he set up his new outfit. Do you think there's a risk that Reform might lose because of that fallout and the right splits?
Well, I keep on banging on that the right should come together. We need to work out how we can cooperate to win elections like this. There's a by-election in Aberdeen South going on at the same time. What I suggested is the Tories should help Reform in Makerfield in return for Reform helping us in Aberdeen South. That if we could win both of those, that would be very positive for the small C Conservatives in British politics. And I think Restore vote is a wasted vote. I mean, it is not helping anybody.
But some people in Reform seem to be quite rattled by it, though. Mm.
Well, Rupert Lowe has the support of Elon Musk, so everything he says on social media gets tens of millions of views.
Which matters in politics in the 21st century.
Which matters in politics. Whether those tens of millions of views are in England or whether they're in the United States, I don't know.
I've got a
hoping and seething.
A few things about this. Number one, Elon Musk doesn't own Facebook, and Farage is getting annihilated in the analytics.
And Rupert Lowe's biggest platform is by far Facebook.
Yep.
Exactly.
But the voters are.
The second thing is, I find it very conspicuous that about a month or so ago, the other version of this operation of uniting the right was actually bringing a few of us into the fold, because the people that were sort of perpetuating the need for a Tory reform pact, because they have a strong sentimental attachment to the Tory party and want to see it salvage, were David Starkey, who I greatly respect, and Jacob Rees-Mogg. Starkey had me on his show, and that was the first time that Starkey had been critiqued from the right, and he opened with this structured line of questioning that tried to represent Rupert as a proper Tory, as someone like, basically, he should just be in the Tory party, and if he's in the Tory party, he's safely sequestered there, they can join a pact with reform, and everyone can unite the right, and we can get back onto the things they're more comfortable with. Mogg obviously interviewed Rupert, cut out the section where he criticised Farage, because they wanted to bring us all onto the plantation. We resisted that, and so now that we have refused the containment operation, now they're bucking, now they're dismissing, now they're calling us far right.
This is, right, so it began about a month ago with, I can't remember whose podcast he was on, but he was on someone's podcast, and he just flatly said, Restore will be nothing. It will get zero in the polls. It will not be an issue.
ADT, I think it was.
It was.
You say Mogg was doing that.
Mogg said this, right? And then about a week later, it was clear, oh no, actually, Restore have got some legs. And so on his own YouTube channel, he put out a video saying, well, we need to unite the right. We need to get the Tories and reform, and just even Restore need to come together. And then a week after that, he was calling us racists because, as you said, we resisted the containment.
So that latter reference that you're making there, I remember seeing that one. That was the one where Mogg was saying, okay, well, look, obviously conservatives need to do a deal with reform because conservatives are basically stegosaurus at this point. Yeah. And then he was saying, okay, and we can bring in Rupert Lowe, but we've got to cut off the online right. We've got to get rid of them because those people we don't want. I mean, that is the basis. That is the energy. That is where the youth is at. That's where the culture is moving to. And he's so far in the, well, he's a Tory. He's so far in the past that he can't see the moment.
He knows it.
Yeah.
And he wants to sever the flower from its roots. So if you have Rupert the flower, it wilts and dies in your hand. So it's safely disconnected from the online right. Exactly.
But look at his dismissiveness now. So a vote for Restore is a wasted vote. Well, it's only a wasted vote until it's not.
Well, in Makerfield, where the Conservatives probably are going to lose their deposit.
Well, it wasn't in Great Yarmouth, where they absolutely destroyed all of the opposition, Conservatives and Reform, on a completely level playing field. Right, so you can say that, but again, this feels like a rearguard, frankly, coping and seething action, where it's like, well, what if that narrative just doesn't land? So anyway, I saw this clip from the Times podcast that Rupert Lowe had put out, BBC Newscast, sorry, where
the guy is from the Times.
He is from the Times podcast. That's right. I'm one of the tens of people in Britain who watches the Times podcast.
Unfortunately, so.
Yeah, it's insanely boring, but it tells you where elite opinion is, even if no one's listening to them, and they just can't believe it.
Something that both Reform and Labour people have said to me is there is another force, an unexpected force in this, Restore Britain, the party set up by Rupert Lowe, the former Reform MP, who's kicked out Reform by Nigel Farage last year, set up his own party, significantly to the right of Reform. And Cabinet Minister said to me on Saturday, yes, a lot of love for Andy, it's going to be hard for the Labour Party, but the thing that most struck me is this Restore Britain lot are a real thing. I saw them canvassing. People were mentioning them on the doorstep. It was a real thing in a way that nobody has quite expected.
Love it.
So a couple of things on this. I get the vibe from perhaps Dan Hodges and Labour that they do actually want to big up Restore Britain because they think they're buying into this narrative that Jacob Rees-Mogg has, which is that the right-wing vote is a fixed pie, and so they can split it and divide and conquer. But it actually gives me the vibe of Hillary Clinton and the campaign propping up Donald Trump as a Pied Piper candidate, and it comes back and bites them in the ass because they'd actually rather Nigel Farage as their enemy because he's still on the plantation, Whereas we're not. And the thing that gave that away is actually I also have the misfortune of listening to the Daily Tea. And Michael Gove was on there last week.
Yep.
And when asked about Reform UK, Yeah, when asked about reform, he was like, oh, there's people I respect in reform, and they're voting for reform, blah, blah, blah. And he said, what about Restore? And he went, oh, Restore is a joke, and Rupert Lowe is a joke, and it's a party of jokes. And that was vindictive. Now, if you remember, who's the person who invited Rupert Lowe on The Spectator immediately after he was expelled from reform, back when he thought reform could be strangled in the crib? Who was made to look like an ass when Rupert sat there and said, it was you, Michael, you did COVID, you did trans, who else was... banned by Michael Gove from the physical premises of The Spectator after having a debate. The moment that they can't contain you, they have this sort of acid reflux reaction.
Oh, visceral.
They spit you up. And that's what they're experiencing now.
Yep. And that's precisely what's happening. But as the Times and BBC have realised, oh no, this is coming from the door, right? As in, people are like, oh no, I quite like Rupert Lowe, actually. And people are like, oh, you're not supposed to like... You're not supposed to even know that this party exists. How is this a thing in this constituency? It's like, well, turns out the air war is quite important, and actually the Boomer Waffen on Facebook are influential. Like, these are huge groups, these are millions.
Well, and they think they've scored some great victory by removing Restore from Question Time.
No, I think that was to our advantage.
Yes, it was.
Rather keep our candidate pounding the ground in Makerfield and having normal conversations with normal people rather than engaging in the thunderdome of gotcha politics that is... currently slaying Robert Kenyon.
I mean, that Question Time was just a liberal tone policing.
It was just a struggle session.
Yeah.
A woke struggle session with Jabba the Hutt shaking her, looking down through her like rimmed glasses.
Watching Wazowski.
Yeah. Exactly. It's like, why would you go on this? How does this help?
Well, you're right, and it's nullified Rob Kenyon, because I think, and trying to be as impartial as possible here, I think that if you were to put the candidates side by side, Rob Kenyon has a stronger presentation, and on paper, he has stronger qualifications like NHS, ex-army, all these things. However, the moment that you engage with that longhouse...
dialectically,
yes,
weaker position.
And also, if you are in a party which is acting as if it is weak despite you being a strong candidate, you are briefed with weakness. You are briefed to apologise and concede. And so, if he'd gone in there... I think you said this to me just before. If he'd gone in there full plumber mode, and he said to Fiona Bruce, all right, love, quiet. Like, people would have actually respect him.
Yeah.
But he didn't. And so, by not engaging...
Oh, he's clearly been heavily briefed.
By Farage.
By Tice. Yes, probably. It'll be Tice.
I know, I'm joking. But like, but you are right. The briefing into being the weak party, the heel in the conversation. It's like, no. Exactly.
Well, and the briefing would have been something like, they're probably going to attack you with this thing from your past or something that you've said. This is how you apologise.
Yes. Yeah.
Completely the wrong tactic. The tactic has to be some variation of what Rupert Lowwich is to say, I don't care. I don't care about your long housing tone policing.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. And so, and this has been Restore Strength from word go, is just say we're not going to engage in the tone policing struggle session dialectic of being woke, and you being the right wing of woke means you always lose that argument. It's like, no, we're not the right wing of woke. That's correct, and we don't care. And so you get incredible bits to camera from Sky News where they just went, just trying to tell them about Restore Britain's policies is an incredible advert.
But consensus isn't really what Elon Musk does. For nearly a fortnight, he's been posting in lurid terms about the murder. He responded approvingly, for example, to the ex-Reform Party MP Rupert Lowe, who vowed this week that his new party, Restore Britain, would, and I quote, with the British people's approval, put Vikram Digwa, Novak's murderer, to death.
The new Texas Chainsaw Massacre looks terrifying.
But how much money would I have had to have spent to get Sky News to deliver that line? This is Trumpian now.
You could imagine all the boomers at home, the ones who still watch TV, who haven't really been exposed to this, but they know deep down something is terribly, terribly wrong in the country. They heard that and they're like, what? Yep. Hang on, what?
Rupert Lowe is going to put Vikram Digwa to death? Great. I want him put to death. Like I said, this is Trumpian media manipulation 101, right? We're going to build a big wall and make them pay, make Mexico pay for it. And I'm like, look at this ridiculous thing. And everyone's like, brilliant. Finally, someone's going to do something about the problem. Right?
Well, the great genius of Trump is he figured out how to get free advertising, which is say something outrageous and the liberal media will run with it for 2 weeks, say something else.
And they can't, they're like dogs chasing after cars. They can't stop themselves. You know, but what happens when they catch the car? Well, they get a Trump president.
Farage understood this for about a week, where he said sort of the cold rage comment. And then, because of the kickoff in Southampton, then all of his surrogates spent the last few days explaining how, well, that's not really what he meant. Take ownership of it. And so the moment you're explaining, you're losing.
Yes.
If you're not setting the agenda for them to react to you, then you're the right wing work, you're on the back foot. Yeah.
And that's this is what Farage's surrogates are saying. Like, you know, friendly used car salesman Raheem Khatam has been moulding over Restore Britain constantly. If they're not a threat, why are they a problem? Well, they are a threat. Let me explain. No, I'm not interested in you explaining, because that's you losing. We are a threat. Good enough. Let's move on. Right. So let's talk about the pollsters. So the pollsters have been rated here under the on the election data vault, and Servation are a pretty good one, actually. Servation have a reliable record when it comes to general elections, and they've been doing some polling in Makefield. Now, the current state of affairs with the polls is not really very different to what it was like a month ago. Reform have gone into their dip. The lowest point, I think they're on average 24, but they've managed to recover slightly to an average of 26, which is not great. So about a quarter of the electorate overall.
The confidence intervals there are not tight, though. So
no.
Well, the Restore peaks and troughs as well need to be explained. I promise I'm not doing a mock cope, but it's because the early ones were polls that were prompting, and ever since they've been polls like the YouGov one where you're in a second page drop down menu where you've got to go out of your way to do it.
Yeah. And they're well aware that if, I mean, this is all containment.
It's a suppression strategy.
Exactly. It's a suppression strategy. But the situation hasn't terribly changed. The Conservative and Labour Party on 18 and 16, respectively. Greens on 16. Lib Dems on their eternal 12%. And Reform not really gaining any ground. They're not losing any ground nationally, but they're not gaining anything. And I think...
There's clearly no energy there.
Exactly. It's very clearly a kind of... a loveless marriage, you know. So, yes. Well, I've just settled, you know. Okay, this is the best I'm going to do. Therefore,
well, a loveless marriage between Reform leadership and Reform voters. Yeah. I mean, that's a perfect description. They are tolerating each other, yeah, because they both think they can't do any better.
But if a sexy neighbour starts, you know,
well, the online right was a sexy neighbour, and yeah, Reform leadership were like, no, not interested.
But you know, now you've got the you know, if the sexy neighbour buys the house next door.
Mm.
And starts winking over the fence, who knows, right? Yep. Maybe those voters don't stay with Reform. Anyway, so we got the first Servation... Oh, sorry. Got this map of Makefield before we get onto the Servation polls. So this is the Manchester Mill. Our cartographer, Josh Housden, mapped voting patterns across the constituency. Now, I think this is important because I suspect this indicates wealth more than anything. So, of course, Labour are the party of the rich in this country.
Mm.
And so just this... So for anyone who doesn't know, Makefield is not actually... a place, right? What you have are three or four towns that have been conglomerated into Makefield. So it's the same, actually, as kind of like the South Cotswolds constituency, which is, you know, right next to Swindon, but actually it includes sort of Purton and, you know, I don't even know what's in it, actually, because it's a recent redistricting, but it probably Wootton Bassett, perhaps not Wootton Bassett, but a bunch of Cheltenham, you know.
They've done the same in the southeast, where they've connected like relatively deprived New Eltham to very well-to-do Chislehurst, which used to be its own separate borough, and they've done it using something called the Cold Harbour Estate, which is just a couple, like a row of houses that connects, yeah, the two. So it's just like this, yeah, weird. Yeah.
And so, like in, no one's from the South Cotswolds. You know, what they're from is Cheltenham or, yeah, you know, Chichester or wherever, you know, whatever the towns are they're in. This is not like an organic identity. This is a constituency identity.
I've got a theory that I'm going to check out immediately after this podcast. I bet I can guess where major public sector employers are in Makerfield looking at this map.
Really?
I'm guessing where the council building is, in fact, and I look forward to testing that theory.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, so that's based on previous voting intentions. So anyway, we got the first Servation poll that came out that had Labour on 43%, Reform on 40%, but Restore on 7%. Now, this was, of course, made a big deal out of because... we're splitting the vote. The vote is being split. We're going to let Andy Burnham, the worst, most diabolical Labour leader that could possibly be. I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm not a fan of Andy Burnham, but...
He it's like the Buzz Lightyear action figure, yeah, playing in Toy Story, yeah, 2. Yeah, they're, yeah, all, yeah, in the same packaging. They're all got, yeah, the same smile.
I mean, he's literally committed to the immigration of Shabana Mahmood, the economics of Rachel Reeves, the general politics of Keir Starmer. But they're all basically the same. Who cares, you know? So anyway, I'm not terribly worried about Andy Burnham. But as you can see, Restore on 7%, that's something.
Again, the premise being false that we've beaten to death over here, that 7% wouldn't necessarily vote for Reform if Restore Britain wasn't on the ballot.
Yes.
So we've seen Great Yarmouth, there were originally, there was a much lower voter turnout, yeah, double the voter turnout of Reform support. Also, there was a dip in reform support from about 31% down to sort of 22 to 24 in the period before Restore Britain became a national political party. And some of that support became re-energized when Restore went on the map. But that means that those voters would have otherwise stayed at home at the next general election and wouldn't have voted for reform anyway.
Yeah, and so 48...
Can I make a quick observation about this, Carl?
Yeah, because of course.
I spent many, many years playing poker. And one of the things you learn from that is pay no attention to what people say, but to the bets they make. People's actions are the revealing thing. Yeah. And I'm just looking at this and I'm thinking, why has reform and the entire political establishment been throwing so much firepower at Restore if they're on 7%? The Liberal Democrats are on 4%. That's not much difference. Why would they not be going after Restore and the Liberal Democrats and the Greens? But you don't hear about anybody who's basically in the same orbit as Restore on this poll, which makes me think that maybe this poll is a little bit understating it, because their actions, their internal polling, if their internal polling is showing this, how the hell do you explain their actions over the past 2 weeks?
Well, I had a senior figure in Reform reach out to me by text when I shared a video that I did earlier, about a week or two ago, about presumably what you're going to pull up soon, Rupert's own internal polling based on the canvassers, which shows about 20-odd percent. And I also stated that I'd heard from other sources in Reform that it was higher than the 7% there. It was a bit above 10. And a senior figure in Reform said, no, just to clear this up, we've got them about 1 or 2%. And I was like, okay, interesting. But why did you feel the need to reach out to me to clarify that, knowing that, I mean, I have friends that run Restore Britain? Why are you keen to manage my expectations and tell me that actually the party my friends are running, that their feedback is wrong and you actually have a better read on their support than they do? Like, why are you trying to like psyop me into becoming discouraged?
Wait, why are you doing damage control? Right, that's the question. Well, why are you trying to set expectations?
And on the numbers you just gave there, if Restore really are on high teens or 20s, like you're suggesting, well, that does perfectly explain their behaviour over the past 2 weeks. But that doesn't.
Yeah. 7% is not really that much at all.
You wouldn't mention them at all, ever.
No, exactly.
They would have forgotten about them.
You certainly wouldn't be promoting, or not, it was promotion on Sky News, or discussing them on the BBC, or on the Times podcast, or wherever. They wouldn't feature, like the Lib Dems don't feature.
Every conservative and reform-aligned media commentator is talking about them in the negative and stressing why you shouldn't vote for them.
And the Labour
wouldn't do it for 7%.
The Labour ones are talking about them like they are a new army that's just rocked up and are stomping and conquering castles.
But they've also gone through every single establishment slur in the last week. Like pardon my language, they've blown their load too quick. Yeah. But they did the speed run straight to anti-Semite and Holocaust denier in the Times of Israel. Like, sorry.
Got a bit of foreplay first.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm limping at the moment, but I will make it home.
But what happened? Did Rupert Lowe step back on any single issue? No, he held his ground. And where are those allegations now? It was only a couple of days ago. It was like a week ago when they were calling it Holocaust denial, anti-Semitism, all this. But that's all disappeared. It's evaporated like wind.
And the absolute worst thing that Rupert could have done, which he knows better than this, but right-wing politicians have been making this mistake for years. Yes, which is to come out and apologise when they attack you. And if he had done that, they would smell blood and they would still be doing it.
If he would have booked a flight to Tel Aviv the next day, they would be promising a merger. Instead, they're attacking.
He literally didn't care and it's gone away.
Yes.
So anyway, this was a poll, a telephone poll, from landlines and mobile phones of 504 people in the constituency. They say that it has been weighted to the profile of all adults in Makefield, aged 18 plus, by age, sex and ward, and 2024 general election vote. Right, that's interesting, because 48% of the constituency didn't vote in 2024.
And one of these parties didn't exist in 2024.
And, well, yeah, not only did, but okay, yeah. Well, and one of these parties didn't exist, and we already have evidence that this party that didn't exist is spectacular at galvanising non-voting voters, because this is what they did in Great Yarmouth, with a 50% extra turnout in that constituency.
And what was...
For a total victory in that constituency.
What was the share as well of landline versus mobile? Because
they don't tell us.
By virtue of calling landlines, you skew the demographic towards the older generation.
Of course.
And if Restore Britain has a disproportionate young online support base, especially among its canvassers, then you're not going to pick those people up.
Or even, it doesn't even have to necessarily be young. It could be middle-aged. How many middle-aged people have landlines in their houses? I don't have a landline in my house.
No, I do, but it powers the internet and it doesn't connect a phone to
it.
Yeah,
exactly. I don't have a phone that they could phone. I mean, you know, like there's no, you know, obviously everyone uses their mobile phones. So even people our age don't have landlines that you can call. You are calling pensioners.
Yeah. Yes. Right?
Which is why you're getting Labour and Reform.
And just to quickly build on your point about activating non-voters, that was how the Brexit vote was won.
Yes.
And it still fascinates me that the most significant vote in our lifetime was won on the back of non-voters. And immediately after it happened, people have just forgot, apart from Restore, they've just forgotten that you can activate non-voters as if it's not a thing.
One person.
Yeah.
Who did that strategy during Brexit? It was Dom Cummings.
Yeah.
Dom Cummings made a joke about it, something being Restore policy the other day. He's the only person that understands this dynamic.
Yes.
And when you've got literally half of the electorate that is there for... that, it's not that they don't want to be involved. It's that I'm not voting...
You just don't see the point.
I'm not voting for the used car salesman or more treachery, which may be...
I'm not sure which way round you vote.
Right, exactly, right? I'm not voting for the Chancellor or the careerist, right? Again, who am I talking about?
Yeah.
but anyway, the point being... I'm prepared to come out like we saw in Great Yarmouth and vote for something substantively alternative.
Yes.
And that is what has happened. So I do think this is important. The by the 2024 general election result is important, right? And so the voting figures are reported on the basis of respondents likely to vote in the by-election, factored by likelihood to vote with undecided and refused removed. Notice how we are skimming this down even more. So, okay.
Well, likelihood to vote basically just means retired.
Not just that. It's just, okay, the 52% who did vote are probably likely to vote again, but the 48% who didn't vote are going to be completely skimmed out of this. No, yes. We're not listening to those people who are outside.
I'd love to see the raw numbers for this.
Well, I'm sure you could find them, actually, but I didn't look into that. I didn't have time to look for them. But I thought that was just important because, again, factored by likely to vote. If you were like, well, are you likely to vote in 2029? No, probably not. But maybe I am now. Maybe something has come along now, right? And undecided and refused removed. Again, a lot of people, I think, are going to be undecided. So if you take out all of this, yeah, you've got a position like this where you've got 40% of people in that narrow cohort are for Andy Burnham, 40% are for Reform. And, okay, they're the committed. But that probably amounts to about 20% of the electorate. Something like that, 25% of the electorate that you have actually managed to categorize there. The rest you have expressly left out by your own calculations. Anyway, so Servation did another poll with Restore on now 8%. Reform have gone down to 39%, and the splitting the vote argument has disappeared entirely, right? Even if you added up the Conservative, Restore, and Reform vote, you do not beat Andy Burnham, who is on 49% in this poll. Now, our friends on the ground... The first one, they literally were in Discord. So there is no way they're on 49% in Makerfield, mate. There is no way. I'm here. I'm here all day, every day. We're walking around. It's not 49% Labour. So this is a poll that's been done in the same way. So it's 518 people, telephone interview, combination of landline and mobile data. And it was weighted by age, sex, ward, 2014 election. And the weighted data was derived from the results of the 2024 general election, and so it's the same. Obviously, the same
numbers are all over the place. I mean, Liberal Democrats lost 6 points. The Conservatives,
no, the Liberal Dems only lost 3 points.
Oh, 3 points. Sorry, the Conservatives lost two. What?
No, they lost 1 point. Sorry,
and Labour. What happened to them? So 43
Labour have gained 6 points.
I mean, unless something titanic happened in Makerfield. Obviously, these numbers are all over the place.
Well, it could be that they conducted the majority of the telephone interviews on a Friday and all of the public sector workers had the Friday off or were working from home.
Yes,
they might be more accessible via landline or phone, whereas, again, the younger support base and the working class support base for Restore Britain were, you know, at work and couldn't answer a telephone survey.
Entirely possible. Now, I don't know any of that, obviously, but the sample of 518 people, is it the same phones, the same lines you're calling? Is it the same numbers? I don't know. You know, we don't have this information. But a lot is being made out of these polls, and I'm thinking, I don't think these necessarily represent reality at all.
It doesn't explain the behaviour in any way.
No, exactly. It doesn't explain the behaviour. Because really, Reform should be non-stop attacking Labour, if that was the case, right? There'd be no reason to attack Restore, because it's not enough anyway. What you need to do is reduce the Labour vote. And you need to grab those people and come over and say, look, whatever, Andy Burnham's going to destroy your pension or something, right? Whatever it is you need to say. But
the problem is Reform don't have a positive case as to why you should vote them.
No.
They've got to where they are by saying, we're a bit like the Conservatives, but we're not the Conservatives. And that doesn't work against Restore, and it doesn't work against Labour. It only works against the Conservatives.
But also, the attack line they've got on Andy Burnham isn't actually very good. Because now, I don't like Andy Burnham's politics. I don't appreciate any of the things he's done in his career. I don't like the fact that he's a Labour careerist. But saying we have to stop Andy Burnham at all costs...
Yes, why?
Yeah, he's not evil.
A month after your local election tagline was Vote Reform, get Starmer out. Yeah. Well, isn't this getting Starmer out?
Exactly.
So, again, you're looking inconsistent.
He's literally the only way Starmer could be gotten out, right? So yes. Not only is your own messaging all over the place, but, I mean, you can say whatever you like about Andy Burnham, but he comes across as likeable and
personal. He comes across as... better than Starmer.
Way better.
And
look, is in hell, but yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
We're going to have a Labour government for the next 3 years. So what you want is the least worst of them, the best of them, which is probably Andy Burnham getting us to that
like
point.
Andy Burnham seems like a human, right?
Yes.
After a Southport, is Andy Burnham going to come out
or
and say...
Belfast last night.
Or whatever. Yep. Which is inevitably going to happen. Is Andy Burnham going to say, you're going to get the full force of the law? Or is he going to come out like a human being and say, look, I really understand this is terrible. Because he's a likeable guy.
What it indicates is Reform want the most soulless, awful, vile human being to be Prime Minister because they think it will benefit them at the next election. No, I'm living in this country. I want the least worst Prime Minister at all times. And actually, what I really want is the best possible Prime Minister. But we don't get an option to vote for Rupert Lowe until the next election. So I still want the least worst Labour Prime Minister until we get to that point.
I'm fine Starmer staying in just because, you know, best of the devil you know. And the one thing I do agree with Farage about this is he is inadvertently the best recruiting sergeant for the right. I just don't think it's necessarily for Reform. Brain gone.
Well, no. I agree with you. Like, there's something about Starmer. I've actually been warming to Starmer, not as a person, but because of his sheer contempt for his own party.
Yes. Right.
Nobody hates Labour more than Starmer does. Nobody looks down his nose on his fellow Labour politicians more than Starmer.
I've remembered now. It's that Burnham isn't sufficiently a charismatic a figure to salvage Labour's chances anyway, so
no,
I'm not particularly worried. And when you said, oh, he's a human, so his response to Southport or Belfast will be one of... Yeah, his response will be, the second interview he gives will be condemning the far right as evil and racist, sure. But the first one will be expressing some sort of Potemkin compassion for the people. So,
exactly.
Yeah, so he will be less... it will feel less like there's a sort of a pole of villainy that's fallen over the country.
Yeah. It will feel less like the country's being run by the Terminator.
Yeah.
But yeah, anyway, like I said, I'm actually warming to Starmer on that because it's funny watching him stamp down his own party and literally give them no consideration. They're like, yeah, you're destroying a party. And he's like, I don't care. I don't care. I'm staying forever. It's a 1,000-year Starmer Reich as far as Starmer's concerned. So anyway, getting back to this. So these are, again, with all of those things with likelihood and whatnot stripped out, we are at a very, I think, quite narrow selection of the actual electorate. As you see, you know, but factored in with likelihood to vote with undecided and refused removed. Okay, but that's a huge constituency that you know Restore tap into that you've deliberately ignored. And so, okay, you can't take these polls as accurate summaries of what has happened because we are in new territory where actually a lot of previously inactive voters have now got a weapon that they can use against the establishment. Azir Yusuf said this the other day on like Politics Live or whatever. So I understand. And it's like, yeah, but why couldn't you activate them? Like, you being a part of the Uniparty, being a part of the system, was just more of the same. And Rupert Lowe, being the only party who's like, I don't care, I'm putting them to death, is very clearly outside of the consensus.
Mm.
Right. So anyway, this was Restore's own internal canvassing results. And what I really enjoyed about this is when they first started canvassing in Mayfield, I had lots of people in Restore, like Rupert himself messaged me like, I don't really believe our own returns. And so they would go back to the people collecting. Are you sure about these numbers? Because this seems too good to be true. And eventually Rupert was just like, okay, well, look, on 1,000 sample size, we're getting 24%, nearly 25% for Restore Britain, which, I mean, who knows? Who knows? But he's not excluding those.
I did question these numbers. When I saw the guys from the store, I was like, that can't be right. And I said, look, what's happening is people are turning up on the door wearing a Restore rosette, and the person behind the door, they probably have the door knocked on 7 times and they just want you to go away, and they're just going to tell you what you want to hear, and they're just trying to get rid of you. And the guy said to me, yeah, you might think that, but our internal polling in Makerfield understated the numbers. So I'm like, oh, bloody hell, actually.
In Great Yarmouth, I mean.
Great Yarmouth.
They got 42% internal polling and got about 46% on average. But in some constituencies, absolute majorities. So
when you hear that, you think, well, maybe.
Yeah, I mean.
And this does explain the panic in the establishment perfectly. If those are actually the numbers, well, no wonder Reform and the Conservatives and the entire establishment media have been talking about nothing else for 2 weeks.
As I previously mentioned to you, I think when we did this, might be last week or the week before, yes, there will be a sampling bias on the door for the people that just actually open the door and talk to you. However, it is significant that the largest percentage on there is 31.2 definitely against. There's only about a 6% gap for those declared for Restore Britain, but the definitely against will be split between, predominantly, Reform and Labour as well.
I mean, Labour, Lib Dem, Green, there will be, you know, all of that compiled.
The two largest factions. So the single most enthusiastic response they have registered on the doorstep, like the single most consolidated enthusiastic response, was for Restore. Now, again, that's from Restore canvassers. But that does mean the Restore block is largely locked up, and they're not, and this is why Reform are freaking out, they're not likely to break away and go over to Reform. Mm. Whereas, as we've already seen with the Servation polls, whether or not we take the sampling, Reform's vote are actually fair weather between them and Labour.
Yeah. So a lot of undecided and considering, as well as some of the, I think most of the definitely against will be Labour.
Right.
Diehard Labour voters. But like, say, you know, at a guess, I'd say 10% or so are Reformers who are definitely against, is there like cult of Farage types. But I suspect in that 24 and 20%, that's a lot of Reform voters who are like undecided, or I'm considering voting Restore. You know, I'm on the fence, right? So anyway, this is corroborated by, of all people, Dan Hodges, right? Who he's been making a lot of enemies in the mainstream over this. And he has adopted this very unpopular position that actually...
Or journalism.
Yeah. Actually, that's exactly it.
Even Diane Abbott puts the right shoes on sometimes.
Exactly. And like I said, I don't normally take his word for anything, and I don't really consider his position as being very credible in most other realms, but it's lining up very similarly with what I personally am finding, right? When we speak to our activists, when we look at what the actual information they bring back, and they say, look, I was there all week.
Yep.
This was the, you know, it was at least...
Well, we got guys there this week, so very soon we're going to be having footage coming back from what they're finding.
Absolutely. Should be out tomorrow, or in fact, should be out today. So it's one of those things where you're saying, look, I'm being told by multiple sources from different parties that canvas returns for Makerfield show Restore significantly outperforming the 7% revealed in the Times poll. I suspect that's what's underpinning the current Reform meltdown.
Yes.
Exactly as you say. If it was only 7% on the door,
you wouldn't care.
It wouldn't be that big a deal.
Like, how often do we talk about the Conservatives? We don't, because we just don't care, because they're irrelevant.
Kemi does something mildly stupid and reminds us that they exist.
Yeah, like she was a shell stacker in Waitrose the other day, and I was like, yeah, she fits in seamlessly.
It's when she did the McDonald's thing.
Meant
to be aping Trump, and it was just like, didn't you serve me a Big Mac before?
Yeah, you literally look like you belong in the UK there.
Yeah.
Anyway, so let's go to the actual canvassers, right? So you've got a right-wing journalist called Madeline here, who runs her Substack, and she spent 2 days canvassing in Makerfield with Restore. And so these are her direct experiences, right? So she says, there's a stereotype that does the rounds about Restore supporters, that they're terminally online incels. The only part of that stereotype that's true is that most of the party's active members are men. Beside that, it's completely wrong. A lot of the members who turn up to canvas are barely online. They come from all walks of life. There are young men at the start of their careers, both in the trades and white-collar professions. There are concerned parents who want the best for their children. There are business owners who have been badly hurt by Labour's taxes and worried that they'll lose their livelihood if current trends continue. And there are older people who are choosing to use their retirement to support a party that promises a brighter future for their grandchildren. While most of the party's radical nationalist wing may be visible online, the majority of Restore members are not particularly ideological people. They've simply looked around at their country and they are not happy with the state of it. That lines up exactly with my personal experience being the Swindon branch organiser, right? We've got 400 plus members, and that is exactly right. it is a swathe of just like an ice core through the country of people at all ranks who are just like, no, we're not happy with this. Like the online right of the online right, but that's not what the membership is.
I've seen the same in Southeast London. Yeah. All the branch meetings I've gone to in various boroughs, exact same cross-section.
Yeah, it's exactly the same. And that's amazing that Rupert Lowe has managed to activate people along these lines.
But there is a core theme to them, that's something that all lines up them, which is that later line, which is, says, you know, they're worried about their kids and grandkids.
Yeah.
That is a consistent
thing. It's the future of the country. It's normal people getting political.
It's the mum's and dad's party.
It is. Absolutely. That's exactly how I've been characterising it. So anyway, she carries on. In this particular campaign, the party is focusing heavily on making the streets safer for women and girls, fighting over development in the local area, improving special needs and special education needs and disabilities, support for those in genuine need, and tackling antisocial behaviour and making high streets thrive again. So very good, positive messaging. This is, we are going to fix the country. What are reform promising? Genuinely, I'm actually not sure what reform's campaign is actually about.
A referendum on the sniffability of Carol Vorderman's arsehole?
Poor old Robert. Is he, like, he made that joke years ago. Yeah. It was just a joke before he was political.
I think it's disgusting. I wouldn't want to consume it.
Disgusting. It is disgusting because you're too young to remember 20 years ago. She looked
quite
nice.
I'm not. She's. You know what? It's an embarrassing story. I'm going to tell this. My mum watches this.
Oh, no.
I used to, as a one-year-old, walk up to the screen when she was putting the numbers up on Countdown and kiss the screen.
Oh, yep. Wow. So you're actually
When you were one, that would have been appropriate. And hopefully he made the joke back then.
This is proof of the inshittification of Britain.
Yeah. It was literally like in 2012 or something that he said this. So it was a long time ago before he became a political candidate for anything. And it was just a joke. And the thing is, he didn't even say it. Someone else had said it. And he was like, he was just making like a wry joke on, well, it's just what we're all thinking. They're really being evil towards him over this. He doesn't deserve any of this nonsense.
I can guarantee, as a plumber, he's made far worse. Yeah, and he should just own it.
Yeah. He's a joke. But anyway, the point being, I don't actually know what their campaign is for. Why are we voting?
It's getting elected. I mean, it's literally that.
I mean, it's like get Starmer out. No, that's not the argument, because then you'd vote for Andy Burnham. Right, if you want to start.
It's not about the next election. It's about fixing the country. That's what matters.
Exactly. And so and this is just very sensible, and this is very clearly what the Restore campaign has been projecting, without getting tied up in the weird smear merchantry of the mainstream media. This is the thing. I actually completely in favour of, don't bother with them. You don't need them. We've got literally thousands of activists going to Makerfield week after week, and a candidate who's there knocking on doors and talking to people. You don't need any of that.
Oh, the other thing as well that's been significant about the inefficacy of Reform's attacks on Restore is who's been taking all the heat from the attacks? Rupert.
Yeah.
Not Rebecca.
Yeah.
Whereas who's been taking all of the attacks from...
It's Robert.
It's Robert.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that means that on the ground, if your name is synonymous with Reform and then people are highlighting your candidate with national profile and trying to smear his name, you're going to get credibility deducted. Whereas if people are just attacking Rupert for this, that, and the other, but you're getting leaflets through the door saying Rebecca Shepherd's going to clean up your high street and stop all the rapey foreigners from following you home, they're like, oh, she seems nice.
Yeah, I like that idea, you know. What are, I mean, in fact, she says, I had a brief conversation with Shepherd during a lunch break on the first day of the canvassing. She's come across as a down-to-earth, ordinary woman who simply wants to improve life for local people. And that's genuinely my impression of her. Now, she's been getting a lot of stick from the sort of like online commentariat who are like, well, hang on a second. I'm used to hearing professional talkers talk professionally.
She's not that slick.
She's not a slick conversationalist, like presenter. That's correct. She's not. But that's not what you're looking for when you're talking on the door.
I mean, let's say Restore wins the next general election. You want at most 15-30% of your people being good talkers.
Being
so you
can
put them out in the media. Yeah. Yeah, you want a certain percentage. But honestly, coming from this world and knowing professional talkers, it would be an effing disaster if everybody in government was a good talker. You actually need people who do the detail, who do the nitty-gritty. You can't just have a... Can you imagine a government of podcasters?
Oh,
it'd be a bloody disaster.
The amount of e-girls that would end up on the shortlist and have the whip withdrawn. It'd be terrible.
Exactly. I'm very happy that she's not a media personality, right? I'm very happy that she is a business owner, that she just wants to get work done, and that she can go around and just talk to people as a normal person, right? So she's... Like, this has been the overwhelming response about Rebecca Shepherd. She's just normal and she just wants to fix things. Oh, that's right. Like the rest of us then.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like the rest of us. Like the entire membership of Restore Britain. Anyway, she says she was partnered up with someone. So she says, my partner and I, but that's not a boyfriend. That's just someone she was partnered with to go canvassing.
She is available, Lando.
And I went over to the house that Labour campaigners had just left and introduced ourselves to a lady on the old doorway. So she's just giving us some examples of her experience here. She told us that Labour were only leafleting and we were the first ever to actually come to the door during an election to actually want to talk and win her vote. She and her husband, who appeared from the side of the house to join the conversation, were already intending to vote for Restore. They felt that Rupert Lowe was the first politician in a long time, if ever, to be on the side of ordinary British people. And that has been Rupert's genuine sort of killer message, killer app, sort of like the thing that's really like he is not on the side of the system.
Who knew that the magic source of British politics was giving the British people what they wanted and needed?
So many knives in our back.
Yes.
So many knives in the back. And you got a guy who's like, I'm not going to stab you in the back. Like, and this has been the overwhelming response from the left as well. A lot of them actually hate Farage because they don't think he is authentically the right winger he claims to be. Right? They view him as a grifter. He's a chancer. He's here to sell me a used car. You know, look at you morons, constantly buying. He's not going to do any of the things that you want him to do. He's not for you, and they're right. Mm. But they don't ever say that about Rupert Lowe. They say, oh no, Rupert Lowe's a zealot.
He means what he says.
Yeah, he means what he says, and he's going to do it even if it hurts.
Wasn't there an article about that or something?
It was a Reddit post that I saw that we covered the other day, because it was just so funny. But if even the Redditors are like, no, this Rupert Lowe guy's a zealot, I think
he actually means what he says.
He's actually going to put the evil people to death. It's like, well, great. Yeah. I mean, again, I couldn't ask for a better argument. But anyway, the next one is the sort of sunk cost Labour voters, where she says, we pulled up an area full of bungalows and we knew this on the door. There would be a fair portion of older people in the area who feel a loyalty to the Labour Party that can't be shaken, no matter what the Labour Party of today is like. In general, it was the older voters, though far from all of them, and the wealthier constituents who intend to vote for Labour, the last trend borne out in the national polling data. Yeah, Labour is the old rich people party. If you're old and not rich, you vote for the Conservatives or Reform. If you're old and rich, you vote Labour, and that's the way that works. But she ends it with this, right? From my conversations with voters, there were two main takeaways. Some people had always voted for Labour and always would, but there were the more interesting of the two concerned Reform voters. No one I spoke to wanted to vote Reform because they liked Reform. Every potential Reform voter who knew about Restore preferred Restore but was concerned about splitting the vote. Reform's media campaign had been successful in convincing people that a vote for Restore was a vote for Burnham. But if everyone who preferred Restore were to vote for Restore, Reform would lose a lot of voters. Not just a few, but almost every single Reform voter I met.
People want permission.
Obviously, my sample size is small, and people will question my claim because I was there to canvass for Restore, but that's the truth of what I saw and heard. And this, she is not the only person saying this, right? This is a great, again, from a Restore canvasser on the ground, a campaigner on the ground.
I was on the ground in Makerfield, lad. Yeah, these are chatting shit, mate. Like, trust me, lad. Like, when I say, like, it was around 20% were voting Restore and about 20% were voting Labour. Like, literally, like, I was there, mate. There were 250 of us, was the head count as well, and ours. Reform showed up with four people, lad, flapping it. They had to do, like, they're putting signs everywhere because, like, people are sick of Nigel, mate. And the ego's gone a bit crazy over there, mate. Like, if you look at what they've been doing in the media, lad, like, it's all the Tories who come out for them, lad. It's all the establishment, lad. When we were over there, mate, the energy was electric, lad. Like, all the workmen in vans, lad, were stopping and beeping. And, like anyone that saw the T-shirt, lad, were beeping, mate. The only people that didn't like it were like, old Liberals. And there was, like, only about two of them that we met. But, like, of the ones that answered, bro, like, I'm talking, like, I had a Green Party member who loved the policies, who changed his vote, and he said he'll be voting Restore.
What?
So, like, the thing...
No, this is not the
Harry's friend.
It's literally what Harry said to us.
Yes, it was.
His Green Party friend loves his Twitter feed, but wants something done about the economy. And it's like, yeah, well, all we have to do then is start moving our tanks into the realm of we're going to improve the economy, which we should do.
And this is why Zia and Goodwin have been apoplectic about the Tory defectors, and it's because they have... They've read the projections for some time, and they know that looking like you are a recycled Conservative Party is electoral poison in the red wall.
Retirement home for Tories. I said this ages ago. Like, you are taking a bunch of former Tories and telling the Labour voters in the North you have to vote for this. It's like, no, sorry. A vote for Reform is a vote for Nadine Dorries. A vote for Nadine Mihalik.
No, have the ex-Boris cabinet Tories that have joined Reform, have they been canvassing in Makerfield?
No. They haven't.
No.
The Anderson went up. Richard Tice went up as well, I think.
Yeah, but they're not Boris defectors.
No, exactly.
On the day of Denton, they had everyone out.
But that's the point exactly that I'm making. Right. Like, yeah, Lee Anderson and Tice, okay, fair enough. Farage, of course, himself went up.
Lee Anderson, he is a former Tory, but he was he's also Northern.
Tice's constituency is Bolton because he parachuted himself in. But the telling thing about what you're saying is that the plan that got
Boston
leaked...
Boston Skegness is Tice. It's Boston Skegness.
Okay, right. My apologies. But the telling thing about that is the plan that got leaked to me by someone in Millbank Tower ahead of the local elections, which was they were going to try and strangle restoring the crib in Great Yarmouth, but they were going to send down a bunch of people nobody recognised rather than Tory faces to tell people on the doorstep that restore are too far right. And we've already seen some of that from Ring Doorbell footage from this, actually.
Yeah. We have. The Indian
guy.
I didn't actually include that because I didn't know if we'd have time. But yeah, the...
deeming reform on the doorstep.
But again, not the condemnation that you think it is. It's like, oh, don't vote for them. They're really far right. It's like, that's what I want.
Don't vote for them, sir. They've got no Indians running their deportations department.
Anyway, so Burnham come out and said, look, we don't think this is in the bag, actually. Now, if you were looking at the previous polling, you would think it was in the bag. Right? You would think, hang on, we're on 49%, they're on 39%. We're 10 points ahead. Even their split vote can't catch them up. This is in the bag. But he's acting like it's not in the bag because he's on the ground in Makerfield. He's encountering, like the Times podcast or the BBC podcast said, oh, this is a real thing that people are bringing up on the doorstep. This is not a guaranteed thing. And so even Burnham is just like, yeah, this isn't a home run or anything like that, which is what Reform are acting like it is. So they think it's a home run for Burnham if we even stand there. And so they're castigating us, all of their fire is on us, as if we were more than just 7 or 8% of the vote. It's like, sorry, I don't think the things are as they're being represented. And I think your assessment is correct, that their internal canvassing returns are like, Jesus Christ, we are going to get slaughtered by Restore here. And so who knows, right? So anyway, the branding for Restore Britain has been pretty damn consistent. It's this dark navy blue, bold font, picture of Britain, can't miss it, right? This is the very first post of the very of all the branding, right? And this is the Reform website in January. You know, it's totally
clean
different
brand.
It's this. But you can tell, you know, the teal with just a grey, dark grey background. It's all the same branding, and this is what their branding has been like.
I've just noticed that you're using Web Archive.
I am using Web Archive, aren't I? Because, I mean, like I said, it's been the same font, it's been the same color scheme, it's been the same, like you say, sort of cleaning brand presentation.
It is their brand, yeah.
It's their brand. Not anymore. This is
my life.
This is the brand. It's almost unbelievable.
Look, you're not using Web Archive. This is the live site.
This is the live site for reformparty.uk.
And I recognise the colour scheme.
It is just...
It's
unbelievable.
This is your nagging spouse catching you having a chat over the fence with a neighbour and deciding to put on a pair of hot pants and an old wig and something like that to come out and present herself as a new young thing.
Yes, it's remarkable how... suddenly, there's very little teal actually on the website, and it's all that sort of dark blue. And you know, suddenly it's all slick. And sorry, this is weird. This is weird that you would dress so unbelievably similarly to Restore. If this wasn't a big problem for you, why are you trying to bamboozle the electorate?
What's that saying? First they ignore you, then they fight you, and then they copy your website.
Imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. I mean, I don't know who thought this was a good idea.
I think they used a colour picking tool to make sure they got the exact colour as well.
We will get into that, actually. It's actually remarkable. So anyway, here's their leaflet. It's like, wow, that looks a lot like a Restore leaflet. What a shock. And apparently there were plenty of them as well. Loads of them were being put around, right? All these Restore leaflets.
Can you go back one slide? Because that looks like the... That actual graphic looks like the front cover of Harrison's paper.
Doesn't it? Doesn't it just? Again, same dark blue.
And the same white...
Same white Britain, right? They are literally stealing Reform's branding, Restore's branding, because I think it's exactly as you say, they've seen the returns and they're afraid. And they're like, we've got to do everything. And this is very sort of Lib Dem coded sort of tactics, right? It's like, yeah, make it look like we're the party.
Yeah, but how afraid,
that everyone actually wants.
How afraid do you have to be to get down to the point where you're copying the colour scheme of the leaflets?
Oh, not just the colour scheme. I mean, look at their original leaflets. Like, this is a leaflet from Gorton and Denton.
For right? Alan Partridge.
Yeah, for Mr. Partridge. Nothing like the leaflet there, is it?
Well, this is the same tactic that Andrea Jenkins used when she was actually running in her seat as a Conservative. She didn't have Rishi Sunak on it. She didn't have the Conservative logo on it. And I think she had a photo of herself and Farage on it, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. And so it's just remarkable. I mean, here were the original leaflets that they had for Gorton and Denton. And for Makerfield, sorry. You can see it's got Robert Kenyon on. It's like, sorry,
No Farage.
No Farage. Exactly. No Farage on this one. You know, he's not even mentioned, actually. It's Robert Kenyon's signature, but no Nigel Farage. Completely different. They've completely changed it. It's actually, the comparison is crazy how they've obviously just copied Restore Britain's leaflet.
So obviously, we've been doing this for a few years, and it's always an absolutely fatal sign when your leader does not go on your election campaign material. We saw, now remember, this was Rishi. More recently, it's been happening with Starmer. And now Reform haven't even won power yet, but they're already at the point where Farage just doesn't appear on stuff.
It's the inverse of their local election campaign, because you guys were talking at the time about a post that I put out, which contrasted the Conservative and the Reform leaflets. Reform leaflets were sent from central office, clearly harvesting data broadly, because like some of my family got some that don't even live with me. They're definitely not Reform members, never have been. They were just vote for Nigel, photos of Nigel, national issues, and they weren't particular to local candidates, but the Conservative candidates from around the area had them taking a photo where they were walking their dog, where they went to school, they had their address, like the road they lived on the ballot paper, and it was all about local issues. And the criticism of Reform was, you didn't even canvass our area, so no wonder you lost like Bexley and Bromley. Yeah. Whereas now they've done the complete opposite. They're so focused on local because nationally, being associated with Reform may be, in their conception, divisive.
Yeah, and Nigel Farage, a third of the population might really like him, but two-thirds hate him. Mm. Right? He is an established, well-known politician that comes with a lot of baggage. And actually, stealing the Restore branding and not having Farage on the leaflets has clearly come back in their canvassing as this gives better responses. Mm. Otherwise, they wouldn't do it. Mm. They've got their professionals behind the scenes. And in fact, people are like, God, that is a 95% color similarity. That is almost identical.
Yeah.
I mean, like, how it could be looked at that this isn't. I mean, especially with the White Britain there. I mean, just put them side by side. It's like, sorry, we can see what you're doing here. We can absolutely see what you're doing. Even stealing, like, the memes of, like, I don't care. Here's the thing. Where is it? Yeah, it's like, even stealing the slogan, right? Like, these are just memes people have put around, you know, I don't care. Like, as if Nigel Farage has ever stood on this sort of thing. You know, this is a sign of profound weakness, right? Profound weakness. And people, of course, just started mocking them. It's like, oh, yeah, here's the new logo for Reform. Like, it's just, an actual inverse of ours. And people are like, you know, I'm going to put in a complaint to the Electoral Commission. Nothing will come of it, I'm sure. Yeah. But the whole thing just reeks of Lib Dem-coded messaging, right? Look at this one. This is very similar to Lib Dem leaflets I received in the last election and the sort of like Joe Swinson campaigning of, here's just a magazine that just happens to think the Lib Dems are the best thing ever. And obviously a way of trying to bamboozle the electorate.
I'm very familiar with this kind of leaflet because I live in an area where people have big gardens.
Yes.
So the Liberal Democrat Party is incredibly strong.
Yeah.
And I probably got six of these leaflets in my mailbox right now.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. If there was an election going on, they'd be piling up on my doormat, you know. But
they're always exactly that format. Yeah.
Very cynical electioneering. Well, they can't win here, so you've got to vote for us or else you get... It's like, nah, you know what? I don't know that this is persuasive. And, I mean, I personally despise this kind of leaflet. Again, notice the, you know, keep Farage off of it and whatnot.
But, is this a joke, by the way? Is this a parody or this is a real
no,
one?
No.
Well, they actually did that.
I think this is a real one. Yeah, there's a photo of it.
Like, it was a political commentator at the Times.
Yeah. This is not a joke.
Oh, right.
This is a real thing. There's a real Lib Dem leaflet that they've
Oh, that's bad.
So it's one of
that
those
is desperate.
Yeah, exactly, right? So there is this stench of desperation and rearguard action that Reform are putting out. And I'm thinking it's because the reports of our activists on the ground are accurate. As in, our guys are like, wow, we're getting love everywhere here. People are up for Restore. People really like it. And like the Madeline says, the people are voting for Reform just because they are, not because they want to.
They think they're the safe option.
Yeah.
The moment that illusion is shattered,
exactly,
there will be help to pay.
And if there is some sort of preference cascade with, like, yeah, no, I'm just going to go for it. I'm just going to go for Restore. Then who knows what happens in Make
a Fit. It's only a few years since the last preference cascade, because the reason why people didn't go for Reform at the last election is because they thought Reform was a wasted vote and you had to vote Tory to stop Labour. And the instant that illusion was shattered, Tories went from whatever it was, 35% in the polls down to about whatever it's 12%, something like
18%.
That. 18%. So this can change on a dime. And we're probably not that far from the point where this happens, but it's Restore that flips Reform.
Yeah, and so I because of, again, they're using the Servation poll, you don't know what has been left out here.
Mm.
Like, they literally say undecideds out, non-voters out, unconfirms out. Like,
and we skewed it to the last election.
Exactly, we've properly skewed it to the last election. Like, that is a massive constituency of people who might come tumbling in like an avalanche. Right, like they did in Great Yarmouth. Now, I'm not saying that's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen. I haven't been to Makefield. I haven't taken the temperature on the ground. But all I'm saying is I don't really trust these polls to be an accurate representation. And I don't think anyone else has any reason to either. So before we end then, guys, any last thoughts on the situation?
I think it's going to be a competitive second or third, as things stand. I think despite criticisms of the candidate being comparatively weak compared to Kenyon, you're correct in saying that actually the lack of exposure has been to Restore's benefit in terms of canvassing on local issues. And the attacks on, by mainly Reform surrogates against Restore, have been largely impotent because they've used every possible insult in too short a space of time. And they've also recycled the insults that were lobbed at them only a couple of years ago, and continue to be lobbed at Farage. I mean, the thing that you were saying about why people didn't vote for Reform in the last election was because Nadine Dorries was telling them not to, and now she's the same person saying don't vote for Restore because you won't let Reform in. So I think they've exhausted their credibility with a significant number of people, and so it'll be interesting to see how many people are brave enough to take the plunge on an alternative option.
Also, you notice for the Reform, they never actually tell me why I should be voting for Reform. Like, persuade me.
You don't want to be a racist, do you?
Like, but like, none of their surrogates, none of their talking heads have ever said to me, here's why you should vote for Reform. They've called me all sorts of names.
Well, they've said, oh, but actually, Reform are more likely to win. And they're basically indistinguishable from Restore anyway. So, oh, so hang on a minute. You concede that now you've caught up to where Restore's original
position
was.
You've been dragged to this point.
Yeah, even though you're still not banning immigration from India.
Yeah, yeah, you don't have a red list. And really, we can't really trust you not to just stand down again anyway. I mean, you stood down for Boris, so stand down now. But yeah, so they don't try and persuade me, which is interesting. But Dan, any final thoughts?
No, not really. I mean, other than to say that, look, if those internal polls and it's a 20-something is in play, then I suppose it kind of lends to Connor's point that it's not impossible. You end up with the top three parties all getting in the high 20s. And then it's anyone's guess. But to be fair, all Restore needs to do is come third, and that is a seismic change in British politics, because it would have beaten parties of government like the Lib Dems and the Conservatives and the last people to win a by-election, which was the Greens. But genuinely, second or even first, when you've got a three-way race like this, is not impossible. So whatever happens, British politics is going to change because the conversation is going to change.
Excellent.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.